Welcome back to the Mason Crosby Show, presented by Verizon, the official 5G network of the Green Bay Packers. I don't know if this is like considered Halloween music, but it's like a little spooky vibe in this,
right?
It did
feel spooky. I was like, where are we headed right now? I mean, it's fall. I guess pumpkin spice is all around us, so let's get this thing going.
Don't talk about pumpkin spice without Mitch Nellis here. He'll never be friends with you ever again, so I'm sure... I can already tell Mitch Nellis, massive pumpkin spice guy.
Just from, like, pumpkin spice.
Promise
guy.
He is. We'll ask this gentleman here, joining us now on the Fan Guest Hotline, powered by Gruber Law, former Packers and Lions offensive lineman over the years, Mr. TJ Lang, joining us on the show here. TJ, big pumpkin spice guy?
No, but that music was fitting for me. I guess I'm coming on to spook everybody about the game Sunday.
Yeah, there it is. Yep,
you're not a latte fella. No,
not a latte guy. All right. Yeah, I wouldn't have pinned you as a latte guy. You just straight black coffee.
I mean, I put a little whiskey in there once in a while, but no milk, no latte, nothing like that.
That's what I'm talking about. TJ Lang joining us on the Mason Crosby Show. TJ. What was your thought whenever the Green Bay Packers traded for Micah Parsons last week? Did your feel for this first game kind of change at all, or have you just kind of stayed the status quo? Like, just walk us through maybe some of your thoughts from what transpired last week with that Micah Parsons trade to the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, it was kind of like, whoa, at first, right? I mean, you hear rumors every year about high-end pass rushers, and whether it's Max Crosby or Trey Hendrickson or Myles Garrett, like, those guys don't become available, like, ever. You know what I mean? So the Micah Parsons thing kind of felt like, much like the Myles Garrett deal, where it's like, oh, I'm hurt, I'm not going to play for you anymore, and then they throw you a big bag of money, and you're like, oh, okay, I feel better. You know, for that to, happen in Dallas, to get rid of Micah Parsons, man, I can't imagine, what went on with their decision-making. But with the Packers was just like, whoa, this was maybe, we all know Ed Policy coming in as the new president. I don't know how much he was involved in those negotiations or anything. I imagine he played a hand in it, but maybe this is, part of him saying, hey, I want to start this thing with my tenure with. Maybe it's Goody also looking at it saying, we're close. Like, we feel like we've got the right team in place now. We feel like, man, if we can add one more piece and solidify ourselves as a Super Bowl threat, like, this is the time to do it. And I think it makes a bunch of sense for Green Bay. I do. I mean, you look at those first-round picks that they gave up, and it's like, okay, yeah. I mean, if you're going to be the team that everybody thinks you are now, like, those are basically early second-round picks, right? Yeah. So, like, yeah, it's not going to kill you. Kenny Clark, I think, is, there's definitely a hole that's going to be left from him because he's been so good for, 10 years now. He's a great Packer, great teammate, great guy. Mason, I know both of you and I both played with him.
For sure.
That might sting a little bit, just the leadership that's leaving that locker room. But, yeah, I didn't feel much different about the game this weekend, only because, and this is coming from my side here, being in Detroit now, working and being around the Lions, is I kind of looked at Green Bay as being that sleeper team this year. And maybe they went, in my mind, from a sleeper team to, like, okay, they're actually – everybody now thinks they're going to be legit. But I thought that this was going to be the year that they could take a step. You look at hopefully it's a healthy Jordan Love on offense. I know that he had that thumb issue, missed a couple weeks of training camp. But, I think they kind of hit some things that he was dealing with last year. And the youth at that defense just keeps getting invigorated with, and they're better. And those guys have playoff experience, too. So I think that Green Bay is going to be a huge threat. And I think, honestly, Mason, it was just another move. And I'll put it this way, too. Like, people in Detroit, I mean, you're talking about the boogeyman music. Like, that's all it was last week. Like, oh, my gosh, we have no shot. Micah Parsons. Like, if the people in Detroit, you still got to remember, like, they're back-to-back division champions.
Exactly. As well.
Team in this division has made a move, in my opinion, to kind of I'm not going to say keep up with Detroit, but kind of like take that title from it. Minnesota added a couple big-time defensive tackles. Chicago added a couple big-time defensive linemen in free agency. I think a lot of that was to kind of combat what the Lions have brought in this division. But there's no doubt in my mind that this is probably going to be, if everybody stays healthy, a pretty even race between Detroit and Green Bay, and I'm glad we get to see the tone set in just 2 days away now.
Man, I love that. We got TJ Lang joining the Mason Crosby Show, former Packer offensive lineman for Lions, former Lions offensive lineman, and now, can we call you the voice of the Lions? I don't know. I mean,
no,
sideline reporter.
You can't do that yet. Okay. That's like the play-by-play. You can't steal their thunder.
Right.
They're sensitive about their titles. But no, I'm in the I'm in the booth. This will be my second year. Was on the sideline a couple of years. Got added to the booth last year as a co-analyst. So, it's fun, man. It's good being around the game still. And, you know, obviously going to every game on Sunday, coming back to Lambeau. Like, I'm so excited to get back up there because it's just literally my second home, my favorite place to be up there at Green Bay and see old friends. And, Mason, I don't know if you're going to be up there. I know they're doing alumni weekend this weekend and doing, you know, maybe a little 15-year thing at halftime for the Super Bowl team from 2010. Like, it's just going to bring back a lot of great memories. So I'm thankful that I get to travel around and, still be a part of the game. Yeah, calling them on the radio, man, instead of being down there beating the hell out of each other.
That's right. That's right. Are you – so, yeah, I'm unfortunately not going to be able to make it up there this weekend. But, I mean, you being on the Lions side and in the booth, are you going to be introduced on Sunday? Like, are you going to be down there? As one of the alumni, is this like a crossover weekend for you?
No, because I'm not a Lions employee per se. Like, okay. I technically work for the radio station. Now we're doing the home broadcast, the home team broadcast. So yes, I mean, you know, people in Detroit look at me as, you know, part of the team, but I always consider myself a Packer. I mean, I never did like an official retirement. Oh, I'm going to retire as this. But everybody would know. I mean, you know, I played 8 years, 80% of my career in Green Bay, won a Super Bowl, couple Pro Bowls. Like, yes, I consider myself a Green Bay Packer. So I still have a great relationship with everybody in Green Bay, people that are still there. Kathy, who's running the, alumni relations. And they always ask me to come back. I wish I could get back to more games, but obviously with my schedule, it doesn't really line up to get a free Sunday for me at this time. But, no, I always love coming back to Green Bay. I'll always consider myself a Packer. And, you know, hopefully that relationship can continue, not only with the organization but the fans as well.
Do you think Aaron's going to make it to the game there? Has he got anything else going on, TJ? Like, what are they doing having an anniversary for a Super Bowl team in which guaranteeing the quarterback will not be there? Like, what are we doing there?
I mean, the good part about – you know, winning a Super Bowl, you can do an anniversary like whenever you want, right?
Right.
So, like, I'm sure there'll be a 20-year one, which Aaron
we'll
would
probably have like an 18-year anniversary. Yeah, like,
yeah, we're getting to that point now. We could probably celebrate every year. I know Aaron. You know, I haven't talked to Aaron, but I know just from what I've heard, like, this will be his last year. So maybe he can make the 16th year anniversary.
There
maybe try to do another one next year. But yeah, I think it's just, you know, I don't really know what's going on. I don't think it's like a huge celebration. I think just maybe any of the alumni that were a part of that team that ever happened to be back for, you know, alumni weekend, might just want to, you know, recognize those guys at halftime. I don't think it's some crazy celebration that you're going to feel too bad if you're left out. Obviously, it's not important enough for Mason to be there. So, you know, maybe some other guys feel the same.
The obligatory TJ, yeah, Raz on me. I mean, I was waiting for some kind of shot to be fired here at some point.
I have to. You only get a hold of me when you need something these days.
Yeah, exactly.
I know. Well, I mean, I tried to get out, you know, golfing with you. And, you know, I invited you to my birthday party. I invited you to, you know, I invite you golfing all the time. And I get crickets anytime that happens.
I mean, that was like salty 8-year-old Mason Crosby, right?
Salty. Yeah.
Listen,
you don't even come to my birthday.
Coming up. Your 50 is coming up. I'll put that on my calendar.
My 50.
Well, it's not 8 years, 364 days. Like, yeah, we'll be ready to go. TJ Lang, former Packers, Lions offensive guard, joining us here on the Mason Crosby Show. TJ, I want to ask you. Now, we've talked about maybe your feel for the game with Micah Parsons being a part of the Green Bay Packers, not changing up too much. But what did you think that was going to be the initial game plan anyway with Detroit and Green Bay for the Lions, right? I mean, you got the best, maybe best running back tandem in the entire sport. You have weapons on the outside all over the place on offense. And it's a team that probably has some hunger coming into this season and something to prove with both coordinators leaving and you don't get a playoff win last year. Like, what are you expecting Detroit to come out and do week one?
Well, obviously, like you mentioned, the running backs, first and foremost, I think they're going to have to try to establish the run. And, you know, because without Micah Parsons, that's still, in my opinion, a defensive line and a defense in general with their scheme that Halfley likes to do can confuse you. I mean, I think they were, 47, 48 sacks last year, kind of sneaky top 10 numbers. So you can't get into that game where it's, you know, second and long and third and long. And, man, we're just having to prepare for, you know, a bunch of blitz packages or a bunch of one-on-ones across the board. That's not the way that the Lions really are built to win. I mean, that's not a way many teams are built to win. But, you know, if they're throwing the ball 45, 50 times, they generally don't get good results. So, like, they're going to have to try to run the ball. And like you mentioned, with new coordinators, you know, it'll be interesting. I think that, you know, people trying to put more of a negative on new coordinators and, you know, man, it's going to take some time to gel and everything's different. Every guy's different. You know, you can also use that to your advantage earlier in the season as well. I mean, I don't think that John Morton, the new offensive coordinator for Detroit, is going to just roll out the same exact things that, you know, Ben Johnson ran last year. He's going to have new wrinkles. He's going to have unscouted looks that the Packers haven't seen, and vice versa. I mean, you know, nobody put anything on tape of substance, you know, in the preseason. I guarantee Green Bay is going to have the same type of game plan where it's, hey, let's put some unscouted looks out there and make them communicate and make them a little bit uncomfortable. I'll be interested to see what the rhythm, I think, looks like for the Lions offense. And tempo can also change a game a little bit as well. When you get on the road and you can kind of, we know it's going to be loud in Lambeau, you know, offensively, if you can limit the, you know, communication that you have to have and maybe go a little up tempo and catch the defense a little bit off guard, you can have some success there as well. But, you know, they've got to be able to run the ball. If they're not going to be able to run the ball, you know, against Green Bay, the Lions offense is going to have a struggle. But, you know, the other thing I would say, and this was kind of a theme throughout training camp, preseason, like across the league, is that they're very genuine, like, consensus that defenses are always ahead of the offense earlier in the season. Yeah. Because there's just not as much, you know, dialogue, like communicate. Like, it's just like, just line up and go play. Where offense, you have to gel. You have to start building trust in your receivers, building trust if there's new offensive linemen, right? Like, those things take reps. I don't picture this being a high-scoring game, which I think situational football, which both teams have been great at, third down, red zone, you know, getting off the field, you know, we'll see again on fourth down. I mean, are the Lions with a new coordinator, are they going to have the same, you know, aggressive mindset when it comes to fourth down? Like, those are all questions that we're going to have to see starting on Sunday. But, man, I think this is going to be a traditional NFC North, black and blue, grind it out. Whoever's got the ball last is probably going to win this game type of Sunday afternoon.
I love it. Yeah, I totally agree. I feel like Lions are just going to test the interior defensive front of this Packers team. Like, you're just going to say, like, all right, can y'all stop the run? If you can, then we're, you know, then we're going to have to adjust. But, yeah, I totally agree with you, too. And I wanted to ask that because, like, you know, we talked about this a few times on the show. Did you prefer, TJ, when you were playing, like, did you prefer to play – like a division rival and like a team like the Lions, like a big matchup like this early, or would you rather get your rhythm and get everything going, you know, as the season unfolds and then you'll have some of these tougher matchups? Like, what was your preference there?
I never really thought about that, Mace. I guess I didn't mind playing division games early because it's just like, bam, like, here we go. We don't have time to ease into this thing, man.
Like you said,
division games mean so much.
You can throw some different wrinkles at a team that you've played so many times, right? It's like, yeah, once you get like kind of some stuff consistently going, like, you know, teams can game plan differently against you. Right now, it's like somewhat a blank slate. Like, you can go out there and throw something at the Lions, or the Lions can throw something at the Packers that you haven't seen before there are some tendencies that have developed.
Well,
right?
You guys also were just way better than everyone else in the division at the same time, too.
True.
It really didn't feel like the same way, where now it's maybe the most competitive division in the sport, TJ.
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right it is. And I think that's why a lot of these teams, Minnesota, Chicago, and Green Bay have taken notice of what the Lions have done the last couple. I mean, 15-3, I think, the last three seasons in the NFC North, right? So, yeah. But they know the targets on their back. They know that they still have the back-to-back, division crown on their mantle. So they know they're going to get their shot. But yeah, I guess I like playing them early, Mason, because you're healthy earlier in the season, right? Sure, like you have a full team. You have a full, roster of guys that, man, like we're full go. Like, you get late in the season and, man, we're missing this guy. We're missing an edge rusher. We're missing a receiver. We're missing this. And then you look back like, man, if we were healthy against that team, right, like we could have had him. So I think that when you put everything and everything's even on the table week one and you start with a division game, it is like you ain't starting with a cupcake. You know what I mean? You're not starting, you're not just rolling out there playing football for 60 minutes going home 1-0. Like, you got to go earn this thing. And I think that you love the pressure. I mean, I always love the pressure as a player. You get out there week one, and it's like, okay, we get a chance to go set the tone, not only, for our team and what we want to do, but also in your division, which we already mentioned how big these games are. I mean, these games, I know players say they count as, 1.5 or maybe 2 when it comes to the end of the year when you're looking at those standings. But these are also the games, Mason, that we know, too, after playing a long time in this league, when you're sitting there in December – and, late December, maybe early January, and you're scrapping and you're just trying to find a spot in the playoffs, you look back to games like this. You look back to games like week one where you're like, man, like, I know it was so long ago, but that game really killed us. Or you look back and say, you know what, that game really propped us up. That game really gave us the confidence to really get this thing going and put the belief in this team and, kind of solidified the belief that We got a chance to do something special. So I know it's a long season, man, but I love what the NFL is doing where they get some of these big matchups out of the way week one. It is just – it's fun to watch, and it's meaningful, right? I think that's the bottom line. It's meaningful.
Well, I think everything – the football – NFL is so much better when NFC North is a competitive division. I mean, it's just kind of how the NFL needs to be built. These are the types of teams. These are the rivalries that everyone looks for. So, yeah, I totally agree with you. One little inside football. I know we got to let you go. But I still remember sitting in that locker room with you and sitting and all of that. And I can't remember if you were part of this, but I just remember sitting every game coming up to Aaron and asking what the first play was going to be. I think he would ask like 14 times. Like, Aaron would always like give a wry smile. I'd be sitting next to him and he's just like, here comes Josh. he'd ask multiple. And I feel like he was always trying to petition for a different play at times. Did you ever do that with Aaron? Like, were y'all always like, all right, let's run these plays, the first five plays, because we feel really confident and comfortable with those, or were you not part of that?
Oh, I mean, listen, we definitely had, the game plan that the coaches put in, and then we would have the game plan that the players wanted to do, right? Like, most of the time you wouldn't start with, like, the first 10 plays, like the scripted plays, because then the coaches are going to catch on. You got to normally wait till like, the second quarter, and then you come off the field and the coaches are like, what play did you guys run on second down? It's like, I don't know. Aaron called it. I just blocked. I have no idea what you're talking about. You play dumb, right? You cover for your buddies. No, I never did that. I think that was more City probably just being, like, I mean, a nervous wreck, like, every single game. Like, hey, am I prepared? Am I prepared? Like, do I know what I'm doing? Do I know what they're doing? And then he goes out there and just, kills everybody with his, five all pros that the guys had.
Exactly.
But, no, that was fun back in the days. I mean, it's different, though. Like, Mason, I'm telling you, and I don't want to nerd out, but, quarterback play is just so much different right now where you can tell it's scripted. And, hey, if I get this look, I'm running this. If I get this look, like, if they give me something else, I just flip it. And quarterbacks, like, I don't think they have the freedom that a lot of guys did back, maybe 10 years ago. Now, maybe that's just because there's a lot of young guys in this league, and maybe it's because Aaron was just, like, so damn smart and good at it. I don't know what the fine line was there, but you watch quarterback play, and I think that, coordinators are challenged now with trying to make it as easy as they can for their quarterbacks in, like, one-read stuff. And, hey, this guy blitzes, do this. Like, it's almost becoming a little robotic, which I don't like. But at the same time, you do get to watch some of these great play callers Matt LaFleur, I'll put him right up there. You get to watch these play callers really, you know, kind of put everything on their back and say, like, man, like, that was creative. Wow. Like, that's just schematically, I've never seen anything like that. Like, that's the part that I do like about it right now, is that you're starting to see a lot more creativity when it comes to NFL football. It's not at the college level yet, but you can definitely see a lot of influence that's coming in from the college game with the motions and the formations, wow, starting to leak into the NFL a little bit. I think a lot of that is to help out these young quarterbacks. So, but that's the onus on the coaches, man, is to go get your guys in the right position, trust your players, and ultimately, you know, get everybody ready to go.
Former Packer, former Lion, TJ Lang, joining us here on the Mason Crosby Show. Last thing, TJ, we're doing picks today. Like, give your pick. What do you got happening Sunday? If you want to go with the final score, go ahead. If you want to go with a stat line, whatever, you give us a pick for Sunday that you feel confident in.
Oh, man. I'm not going to give you a team because I never pick these games, okay, because I like to please
smart
both fan bases. But
smart.
I'm going to say, I might hint at this one. Jared Goff, what's the line? I think it was like 3 or 2.5.
Yeah, it's close. Yeah, 2.5, I think.
Jared Goff is 8-0 against the spread in his career in opening season games.
So you just
picked the
game.
I'm saying the final score is going to be 21-20.
Okay.
You can paint the picture. But I think the Lions are going to cover that 2.5. I just don't know who's going to win, but it's going to be 21-20.
Okay. All right. Well, Lions cover and lose. That's what TJ Lang just said right there. All right.
Thanks,
you got
Teach.
It. Yeah. Have a good one, TJ. Thanks for jumping on. Yeah, you too.
All right. Let's tee it up soon. That's my invite. Hey, I just invited you. We're going to play golf soon.
He hung up before.
Oh, come and see
right
it like that. I mean, I always ask the guy, and he just ignores me. I mean, this is ridiculous.
I was going to. So if you remember, this was when last year when we had TJ on, this was like full troll Tommy back
oh,
in the
yeah
day. And I asked him
that was when I was having an issue with my travel.
Yeah.
Like I was golfing at Quail Hollow,
yes,
which and so he came after me for that.
Oh,
too.
You got in trouble that day. I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah,
I totally forgot all about that. But I asked him how much you bench. I remember that. I was really tempted to ask him if there was any Lions training camp fights we didn't hear about, and if the kicker got involved in the fight over there in Detroit to see if you were the one also doing that back in the day. But I didn't. TJ Lang jumping on the Mason Crosby Show on the Fan Guest Hotline, powered by Gruber Law. One call, that's all. What a great gig. What a great guy, too, Mace. Seems like just an awesome dude to hang out with.
Well, I love that last insight he had, and he does. Like, he just has such a unique perspective, being an offensive lineman for all those years. And he can see on both sides, too, because of his time in Green Bay. Like, so I do think he's such a unique take there. And, like, how that with, like, Aaron, you know, is like, I wanted to ask that because I just always remember guys coming up to Aaron and they're like, hey, what are we going to do here? What's, like, what's the thought? And it was always sitting like almost like had like, I thought he was going to throw up most of the time when he was asking him, like he was so nervous, but then he'd go out and ball like TJ said. But yeah, how now it is like the onus is on these coordinators, on the play callers to really get these quarterbacks and these young players in the right spot to be successful. And, him giving that insight was so unique and you almost don't think about it. And that is my thought though with Jared Goff. Jared Goff's not a young quarterback, but I do think he has been a really good system quarterback. So I think the onus is going to be on this John Morton and that. I mean, they have Mark Brunell there, a great great quarterback in his own right. So like he'll get him in the right spot, but it's like, what is that system going to look like? Is John Morton going to be able to run it the same way Ben Johnson did? And that, you know, time will tell. Like, game Sunday, we'll kick off, we'll see this offense, and we'll know exactly what they're trying to do.
Well, and I don't want to throw too much shade at John Morton, having never seen him play, but I will call him the worst play caller Jared Goff has played with in his career, hands down, with McVay and Ben Johnson.
Yeah, for sure.
Being
right?
The last two, maybe two of the best in the NFL
over
that time frame, too. So Morton, definitely a little bit of pressure
as
well.
He's got some pressure.
Who do you think's got more pressure, Jared Goff or Jordan Love this season? Because Jared Goff doesn't have no pressure. I don't think that either of their jobs are on the line.
I think Jared Goff has more pressure, like, to show that he is like an elite or like a top quarterback without that proven coordinator.
Sure,
you know, like running the show there. But I think Jordan has Jordan probably has more pressure as, all right, year three as a starter. Can you stay healthy? Can you, like, lead this team somewhere, somewhere to greatness? You know, get over that. All right, first 2 years, I think everybody was just kind of like, all right, let's see what Jordan Love can be, right? And now it's like, all right, you're the guy.
Ramp
like,
it up.
You got to go out there and, and take this thing over.
Making too much money at this point. Football Talk on the Fan. Don't forget Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL game all season long. Kicking off with the juicy, that's the word they use,
juicy
week one matchup between Detroit and Green Bay, starting at just $30 for your first year. That's like $250 a month, guys. That's not, and I didn't even do that. They did the math for me on this one, so I didn't have to mess it up.
Your math is very poor
today.
Off today.
Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. We'll continue some Packer conversation. I want to talk about like some week one or maybe full season expectations now for Green Bay, because we know that the Packers are rocking out there with a great defense now, with some insurance, with Micah Parsons coming in. But the offense still has a little bit of questioning to go around there. And specifically, I think a lot of pressure on the wide receiver room this season for Green Bay. We'll get to that next here on the Mason Crosby Show, presented by Verizon, the official 5G network of the Green Bay Packers, live in the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook.